Good morning, honorable members and officials who are here. Welcome to the meeting. We haven't been with you in the meeting for some time. Hope that you had a good rest during recess. I know there's nothing like recess for parliamentarians, but maybe you did have a little bit, a day or two at least, to rest and reconnect with your families. I don't think today's meeting is going to be long. Maybe just to start by introduction, my name is Lindiwe Masebo, chairperson of the committee. I'll ask members to introduce themselves, and then starting from Mr. Thomas, then we'll also introduce ourselves. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Kassel Matale, committee member.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Maisela Gigana, committee member from ANC.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chantel King, committee member.
Good morning, Annelie Lothriet, member of the committee.
Good morning, Nick Kornoff, also a committee member.
Good morning, Nobu Zolandanyen, member of the committee.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. It's good to see you again. I'd like to join the Chair in hoping that you did have a useful recess. My name is Thomas Ofterheide. I'm Deputy Director General in the Department. I'm very fortunate today to be joined by an excellent team of people who have been working closely with yourselves and with your legal support. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Season's greetings. My name is Tom Sugnandan.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'm Carol van Beek, Director, Knowledge Management, DST. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Shumi Pango from DST.
Morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Charlene Munsami from DST as well.
Good morning, Khonsa Motovi, DST Legal Services.
Morning, Members. Luyanda France, PLO, Ministry of Science and Technology.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Martin Mulcahy, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Morning, Members. My name is Brenda Madlala from Deputy Minister's Office.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Barbara Litt. I'm the Legal Advisor from Parliament assigned to assist with the bill.
Good morning. My name is Bongwe Lufundo. I'm from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this term, we just have one thing in mind, is to deal with the bill and finalize it. The last time we met, we also had presentations from other departments that are relevant to the bill. We also had some legal opinion. We had a meeting with the where we requested DTI also to come on board to also brief us on areas of collaboration where they think that there is a common ground for all of us. And as we have always said, that we are trying by all means to ensure that the life of an ordinary person is not complicated by processes that we put in place, that there should be a one-stop shop. I must say that the meeting, the other meeting with the DTI was not very nice. I also found some arrogance and stuff like that. But I think that we will find ourselves, we will find each other along the way. I did also have an opportunity of having a meeting with the minister, and actually she was also surprised, because if the cabinet would not have approved if there was no agreement between the two ministers. So she was actually surprised on the stance, and probably thought that probably the people who presented were not properly briefed on the development and which way to go. And I hope that probably today's meeting will take us forward. And I think it was very courteous of us to involve everybody so that we move together as a team, as one entity, as one government that is about bettering the lives of the people, and not seeing ourselves working in silos that, no, this is mine, this is yours, you can't touch mine, when we're supposed to complement each other. So I just hope and believe that today's meeting will take us forward, but the subsequent meetings that we will discuss the program later on will also be taking us forward as to what steps, how will we be taking and tackling the bills. We've had public hearings, we've had other submissions written and submitted to ourselves, taking that into consideration. We will also hear from the state law advisor on certification, and also our own legal advisor on processes, on how you see the process. But let's find common ground. At this point, I will. I'm not sure if any of the members want to say anything before. I'm going to ask the department to speak first, and we'll have science and technology. We'll have DTI, and then we'll have the state law advisor and our legal advisor. Oh, okay, just DST, ne? DST. Will brief us, Dr. Thomas. I think you, then it will be the state law advisor and then the legal advisor. Let me just check firstly from members if there's anyone who wants to say anything before we proceed. Okay, thank you very much. Let's let the good time roll. Let's start.
thank you, Chair. From my side, just perhaps one important update, which is that we have in the meantime received a letter also from the Director General of the Department of Trade and Industry, confirming that in fact the Department has no objections to this bill, and wishing us well in its finalization. We have not yet had an opportunity to report this to our Minister and seek the Minister's guidance in this regard, but I'm quite certain, Chair and Honourable Members, that the Minister will close the loop with the Portfolio Committee as soon as we've been able to brief her on this letter. Beyond that, Chair, my understanding is that that we're at your disposal to assist the Portfolio Committee in any way that we can. My understanding was that the legal team on the side of Parliament would perhaps be leading the discussions today, but we are at your disposal. Any assistance that we can give the Portfolio Committee or the legal support to the Portfolio Committee, we're very happy to. I'm not certain right now what you would like us to lead on, if you do want us to lead on anything in specific. So we're very happy to take guidance from you, Chair, in this regard.
Maybe on where the bill is now from your side. Before the state law advisor, can I just ask Barbara to come first and take us through, and then we'll have Sis Bongi. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. I think what makes this quite a unique situation is the committee in a previous meetings tasked us as technical support to work closely with the department, and I've been emailing my state law advisor counterpart. I think I spammed her on everything, so it's been quite a collaborative process to get a product ready for the committee that is technically sound.
Sorry, Barbara. I just want to clarify something that I forgot. Is that in one of the last meetings that we had on the bill, there was request for an independent legal opinion. I think it was after the stance of DTI. And from where we are now, where we're sitting, we don't see the need, because we will spend a lot of money to come to the same conclusion. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Barbara.
Chair, I took what the committee said in that meeting, and I actually went back to our office because one of my colleagues was part of the technical drafting team from our parliamentary legal advisor side on IPLA. And I had an in-depth discussion with her. I also introduced her to my DTI colleagues yesterday, and we spoke about that. From our office's side, we could never see a conflict from an implementation perspective. And here I'll ask guidance from other statutory advisors as well. The way we understand the process is a bill can't go through cabinet and get to parliament without the state law advisors giving an opinion with the certification that there is no such conflict. So from our side, we were always quite comfortable in the fact that there is no such conflict. And as we, I may have been wrong, but as we understood the committee's joint meeting with trade and industry, it was that all the two departments went, they have the technical discussion and sort that out. And as was now stated, the DG from DTI said no such issue. So Jefferson can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I understand, that's now sorted and not needed anymore. We've kind of events have overtaken us, if I can put it that way. So if unless the committee feels otherwise, I agree with Chair that there shouldn't be any issue proceeding. And then for how we have worked in preparing the bill for members to now go into the deliberation phase, where I think now our technical work is done and the big work now we pass on to the members. I sat with the teams and we worked through the bill, making sure that as the committee instructed that it is drafted with plain language, the plain language drafting standards in mind, getting the bill ready so that if somebody picks up the bill, there mustn't be any ambiguity. They must know how to implement it, how it's going to impact on the people who it finds application to. So we sat and I have a document that I gave to Shanaz for. It's for the next meeting. It's not for this one, to assist the committee in guiding with deliberations. What we did is we basically prepared a working document, and Tom will speak to the policy issues that came from the public participation, taking into consideration the questions and responses members gave to the public participation, also taking into consideration the reply the department presented to the committee following public hearings. And we prepared a document that basically works in three tables, comparing clause by clause as a clause was tabled, as we then proposed the technical amendments and per the committee's comments on public hearings, and then the third column shows how that a clause will read if those proposed amendments are in the end adopted by the committee. So we'll constantly take that working document. We can put it up for members on the screen from next week when deliberations start, and then as members comment, we can sit from a technical side and affect the changes as it goes on to just streamline the process, and then constantly members can physically see what an amendment will look like once it's approved, just to make for a logical, practical process. So I think this is where I hand over to speak to the policy, or for Tom to speak to the policy issues with Chair's permission.
Thank you, Chair. You will recall that in January we had the public hearings, and during the public hearings there were a number of concerns raised, and the initial iteration of the bill was having a first jab at the concerns. Chair, the concerns that were raised, the
from the government department, the first concern was raised was the territorial overlap with the mandates of other government departments. So we've streamlined the issues, particularly in terms of the permits and the licensing. And then we developed a one-stop shop, and Ms. Van Wyk will give members a first draft of the one-stop shop, which was presented to the Department of Environmental Affairs for consideration. The other issues within the within the definitions was the very broad definition of indigenous communities. We unfortunately, Chair, with that definition, that definition is aligned with IPLA, and that was one of the state law advisors' recommendation that we cannot veer away from a definition that's already in existence. So we have maintained the definition of indigenous communities. The other concern, Chair, was the excessive powers of NICSO. Many submissions indicated that NICSO had far too many powers. So we have toned that down and made the functions of NICSO, particularly in terms of the licensing, as to play a more facilitative role than rather being actually involved in the signing of the licensing agreement. The other issue was the misunderstanding between the competencies and the practice and the role that NICSO played in the accreditation and certification. We've clarified that with language that would now make the role of NICSO more clear. We've changed the word from accreditation to certification to the recognition of prior learning. The other issue, as I indicated, was the issue of permits and licensing and the burden of acquiring either one of the documentation, and then the one-stop shop will clarify the role of acquiring either a permit or a license. Chair, the other concern was that our bill was devoid of offences that dealt with the violation of an intellectual property. So we brought in we didn't bring it. We've referred that section to the regulations that the minister will regulate in terms of the offences and penalties. The other contentious issue, and that was particularly from the DTI, was the effects on other law, that it created the impression that that the bill will repeal IPLA. You will recall that in subclause effects of law, we had that the bill does not detract from X number of laws. By implication, what that meant is that the bill detracts those laws which are not mentioned under effects of law. So what we've done with Barbara, we've streamlined that clause so that basically what it says is that it does not detract from any law. The other issue was the transitional arrangement. This issue was particularly from the practitioners and holders who indicated that 12 months to register was too onerous. So what we've done now, we've made that into an open so that there is no restriction on when you can register your indigenous knowledge. And then the very last issue of concern was the issue of the registration of IK and the non-registration of IK. So that we've got language for in terms of the enforcement of the right. Chair, those were the very broad issues in terms of the concerns. What we didn't address and that came up particularly on the last day, the issue of land, the issue of indigenous peoples, and the issue of traditional leadership. The bill didn't address these issues because that's not within the scope of the bill. And these issues were particularly raised by the San and Khoi communities. So Chair, in a nutshell, these were the concerns that both Barbara and ourselves we worked on. Thank you.
Do you want to say anything, Barbara?
Okay.
Chair, that's a very accurate and succinct, I think, summary of the work we did.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The bill indeed was certified by our office. During the scrutiny of the bill and the drafting, amongst the key issues that we have identified from our side, issues of clarity that we required from the department was on the implementation, having regard to the IPLA. On that note, we needed clarity so that when we move forward, we are certain that there is no overlap of the functions and also there is no issues of conflict between the two legislations. The clarity that were given to us from the department, they indicated that the bill was the result of a consultative process and DTI was amongst the stakeholders were involved during the consultation. And the other indication that we got was that the bill was also a result of the IKS policy, which provided for the establishment of NICSO in order to implement the Indigenous Knowledge Systems policy. So that was the one on the one side. And we had the understanding, we had to get the understanding what does the DTI Bill Act do and what does this bill do so that we can get that understanding. So clarity was given to us through the meeting with the department. So on that note, from our side, we could tell that the scope of between the two pieces of legislation is different. And of most particular importance from our side is a statement that was given in the cabinet statement that the bill will complement. Actually, if I can read it, says the bill will complement the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act of 2013. So even on this side, it was telling us that because the cabinet is a representative of all the political heads and the DTI political head was also there. And this on its own was a confirmation from us that indeed there's no conflict between the two pieces. And then on that note, we certified we didn't have a problem with the bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. This is Carol. Okay.
Chair, the concerns that were raised initially by the state law advisors was on the definition, that our definition in the bill detracted from the IPLA definition. So what we've done, we've taken the IPLA definition and we've stuck it into the IP bill, so there is no conflict. The other issue was in the bill there was offences but no penalties, and we've rectified that. And the very last comment that the state law advise us that our bill is a Section 76 bill, and we have to follow the Section 76 process. Thank you.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I haven't got my bill with me here, but I remember there was a clause in that if there is a conflict, IPLA will trump this bill. Is that still in, or is that now resolved?
Thank you, Chair. There was never a clause that indicated that IPLA will trump the IKIPO. In the 2015 version, it made no mention of IPLA. In the 2016 version, the bill only made that it would not detract from those amendments that made up IPLA. The amendments to the copyright, the Design Act, and the trademark. It didn't mention, these three acts, they form together, IPLA. So
So there was no mention that IPLA will take precedence if there's a conflict in our bill. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Lotris has got something to confirm that. Okay. Mr. Coroner, okay. Mrs. Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. Just to give an update about the one-stop shop and the model that we've started to develop with the Department of Environmental Affairs, we have developed a model through the existing documentation centers and the National Recordal System to support the Department of Environmental Affairs and DTI, basically in terms of examining patents on the system. We've presented the first draft of the one-stop shop to DIA on the 20th of June. They were quite excited about it, and we are awaiting feedback from them. Further, notwithstanding that, as well as them also supporting the funding in developing the electronic system office, I need to state that currently we have developed the system, but it's offline because we are awaiting the finalization of the bill, which gives the legal protection of the information that is in the system. We are also looking at training the DTI patent examiners in October on the system and how they could use the system for searching for communities that have knowledge on IK. Thank you, Jim.
Shumi.
Thank you, Chair. In partial fulfillment of the imperatives proposed by the bill is the establishment of the national office. And to that effect, we, as DST, taken the route of a special service delivery unit, which is the same model that was used by DST in establishing NIPMO, the National IP Management Office. And in pursuit of that, we commissioned GTEC from the National Treasury to assist us with the feasibility study so that they can be able to advise us whether the SSDU is the correct instrument to use as the office. The feasibility study was conducted and we received the report last year. This year we received the business case from GTEC, which then was giving us the assurance that this is the right instrument that will then implement the bill when it comes into being an act. So far, we are waiting for the bill to be an act, and then the SSDU then will be established. What the business case proposes is the structure of the office. It is the budgetary requirements in establishing the office. It is also the relationship between the office and the DST, the relationship between that office and other government departments. So that is where we are at regarding the establishment of the service delivery unit. And now the next step would be to for our minister to request permission from the minister at the DPSA. That is the process then that will be guided by the bill itself, because we cannot establish the office before the bill becomes an act. So that is where we are at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, questions, comments? Never seen members not having questions. Next week. Okay. So I think we'll leave it at this, and thank the department, thank the state advisor, thank our legal advisor on and including our content advisor, having worked together to where we are. So I think the bulk and the gist will start next week. But thank you very much for that. that then concludes the area around the bill, and then we will just quickly deal with other committee business. And also next week we'll also be briefed by our content advisor. He'll take us through also. Understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Shall I committee business? You are excused. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. Okay, Ms. Isaac.
Members, I just maybe put in the first instance just refer to the program. I hope everybody's got a copy of the program, the committee program. We've got 5 meetings for the term. I've indicated in a previous one that I've seen we've got 6. As you can see, I've just what's going to happen next week is that we're going through this document they prepare, and because it's been it's been a collaborative effort, so they will all talk at like almost one go. We will have GST, and we will have our legal advisor, the state law advisor, and even Renee on content stuff, and obviously, you will ask as we go along. So I split that in 2 meetings just to give us enough time to go through it because we only have half a day. So the next week, the 23rd and the 30th of August, we will do that bill clause by clause, just checking if everything that we have said in the past has been taken on board and what they've said here, if there's any clarification needed to go forward. So that's that 2 meetings, and then on the 6th of September, the 6th of September, we will then informally consider all the changes and develop a position on it so that we can adopt it either on that day or the following week if needs be. And then the last meeting will just be on the GST first quarter expenditure. And then you may have noticed that prior to our session starting and even at the end, we did not have any oversight, an international oversight trip has not been approved due to funding considerations, they had said. But I have circulated this. So in the meanwhile, what what I have done is to look at some of the invitations that we never honor, but we really go to some of the things. So, yeah.
Just is the date of the 6th of September, is it not 9 till 12:30? Or 13:30, is that, well, it's just a technical question, you know, we can maybe just make sure that it's...
So I've compiled or I've kind of organized the invitations that we have in a specific order. The NRF Awards is the 14th September. We didn't go to the last two awards ceremonies. There's a, I think it's a TIA initiative, the Innovation Bridge, on the 15th of September. And then we invited to participate in an Indigenous Knowledge Systems Expo, which is in Mpumalanga, the 26th to the 28th of September. And then we've got the CSIR Conference, which is on the 5th and the 6th of October. So that's it. Now, the 14th of September, that period falls within this oversight slot. So, I mean, we can easily apply to, if people are interested, to attend that award ceremony. The CSIR one at the end, the 5th and the 6th of October, is when we come back, when we were supposed to have our first week of BRR deliberations, annual report sessions. So what I wanted to suggest for members to consider is maybe that we use that week in Pretoria to do the bigger entities, maybe, and start and go to that conference, and maybe a day or two before the time doing the entities that side. The 5th and the 6th of October, and then we maybe do the 3rd and the 4th, and then we finish our entities that side because they're all based in Pretoria, and then attend that conference.
The parliamentary program says on the 3rd of October the BRR process will start.
Yes.
That's right.
So can we be away?
But for the BRR, that will be our process. We start
the Okay,
fine,
we do it.
Yeah, so that they can't not approve it.
Yeah.
Because
it
will be that, and then we attempt to link it to that conference. If.
Can I ask also if you can put the CSIR, the new building or something, remember when we went there for oversight, it was going to be opened in October. And probably if we could just make a follow-up so that we have the dates on that. So there's the program, Honourable Members, your input?
I support the proposals, including the dates that are not are written in white here, but what she is proposing.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Members. So both the program of the committee and the conference. I think with the invitation. If we have to the NRF Awards and the Innovation Bridge, so we'll have to have different delegations because the NRF Awards are in Bloemfontein starting from 17 hours, and the Innovation Bridge probably starts in the morning in Sandton, in Midrand, the Gallagher Estate. So unless whoever is in Bloemfontein will wake up very... Oh, yes. Home sweet home. Yeah. No, we nearer to the time, we will also deal. She's definitely going. She's a Bloemfontein. Okay. Or maybe we can... Can have volunteers who wants to go to Bloemfontein. Dr. Lottery, definitely. Miss King, you also want to go to that one. Okay, Gekana will be near home also with the innovation bridge. And Matale will be on his way, innovation bridge. Okay. Dongeni, where's the direct flight? Joburg. Okay. 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 Innovation Bridge and Koronov.
Oh, yes.
Talking about the 14th and the 15th. 14th is Bloemfontein, 15th is Gallagher Estate, not 20-something.
I'm willing, you know, I was born in the Free State and went to school in Bloemfontein. I won't object going to Bloemfontein back. But, you know, it all depends of what is Parliament doing that afternoon. You know, if it's not a big issue and I do not miss caucus, I gladly will go. I don't know what the flights is doing on the 14th.
Usually the last week is easy.
On the 14th, is it over that week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, honored members. We will start with the arrangements for those. When we started, I really omitted and forgot to present the apology from the minister, and also honorable honorable Tuck. The Blanche also Honorable Paulson, thank you very much for coming to close the meeting. So the meeting is adjourned until next week. We'll be informed of the thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.